So this year, the one that we're gonna do tonight should be blamed on Alan, although it wasn't his intent exactly. No. Alan was learning Mishnah Savram in Shul, and so he pointed to a section where the Mishnah Savram discusses Mitoch. So I said, so it'll be nice. It's for Price, Toronto, makes sense. We should learn something from Price about Mitoch. However, the piece that I actually picked is not the piece that Alan had in mind, but a different piece from Rav Price. The piece that he had was a whole involved discussion about Havara, and Havara Lalav Yatzes, Lachalik Yatzes, and fitting that in. The piece that I picked is one which I think has more popular appeal because of certain elements within it, also Mitoch centric. It's from Chelek Aleph. Your piece was Chelek Beis. This is Chelek Aleph, Simen Aleph, Anaf, Gimel. In the Mishnah Savram, which I have it here, but I didn't, put it out on your sheets. I gave you the sources that we'll work with to develop the idea that he talks about. His question essentially, it revolves around Boneh, building on Yom Tov, and the mitzvah of building the Beis Hamikdash, and whether you can build the Beis Hamikdash on Yom Tov. And as you'll see, it's going to give us insight into a couple of aspects of Mitoch along the way. So we have to start with the Gemara in Shabbos and the Tosfos on that Gemara. Source Aleph is the Gemara in Shabbos. Tanu Rabbanan, the Braisa says the following: Hacholev, one who milks, v'machabetz, v'hamegabein. Those are two actions which are involved in making cheese. The mechabetz, as I recall, I didn't check into it for this year, but if I remember correctly, is when you set it up so that the liquid rises to the top and you're going to get the curds with it. And then the gabain is hardening it. To actually make gavina, same word. So if you do that with a grogeris-sized amount, grogeris is a dried fig, that's the minimum amount to be considered significant. Hamechabed v'hamrabeitz, one who sweeps, one who spreads liquid on the floor in order to tamp down the dirt. Harada chalas devash, somebody who takes honeycombs out of the hive. Shogeg b'Shabbos chayev chatas. If he did it by accident on Shabbos, he didn't know it was Shabbos, didn't know it was Aser. Chayev chatas. So he brings a chatas. Hezid b'yom tov, if he did it on purpose on Yom Tov, loke arbaim. Then he gets 40 lashes, divrei Rabbi Eliezer. Chacham disagree and say no. These are derabanans. So Rabbi Eliezer says malchus for doing this on Yom Tov on purpose. Rabbi Eliezer and Chacham say no. It's a derabanan. All these different pieces of this brisa are largely insignificant for us. That's why I didn't bother with the whole mechabetz and the gabein and so on. They're not our point. Our point rather is malchus on Yom Tov. The Tosfos begins with Rodeh Chalos Devash, but we'll see it beyond that as well. But the issue of getting Malchus on Yom Tov. Take a look at source base, please, and we see Tosfos' point. V'harodeh Chalos Devash, somebody who takes the honeycombs out. Tamalari, Amai Loke B'Yom Tov. The Re asks, why should there be any Malchus for taking the honeycombs out on Yom Tov? Ula Rabbi Eliezer Rabbanan Nami Lo Pligi El Mishum De Lo Chash V'La Malacha. Even the debate between Rabbi Eliezer and the Rabbanan is a debate about whether this is a malacha or not. But if it were a malacha, then everybody would agree it's malchus. In other words, Rabbi Eliezer says he's getting malchus because he says yes, this is a malacha, taking the honeycombs. The Chachamim say it's only a derabanan because it's not a malacha. However, if it were defined clearly to them as a malacha, they would agree you get malchus. And Tosfos says, I have three reasons to say that one should not get malchus. First of all, v'atznan perakama de Megillah, we have a Mishnah towards the beginning of Maseches Megillah. Ein bein Yom Tov l'Shabbos ela ochel nefesh bilvad, right? That's the big distinction, Yom Tov and Shabbos. Yom Tov you're allowed to do ochel nefesh. And Rabbi Yehuda omer ach machshirei ochel nefesh. Rabbi Yehuda says you're even allowed to do the backup steps that will ultimately lead to food, like we talked about, setting up your shechita knife so that you can do shechita. Uka omer b'gemara, and the Gemara there says, my time of the Tanakama, what's the Tanakama's rationale? Omer kra hu levado yeyaseh lochem. Because the Pasuk says, we've already discussed this, this asher ye'achil l'chol nefesh, whatever is for food, That alone shall be done for you. Hu v'lo machshirin. The Tanakhama says, only this shall be done. Machshirin, backup steps, no. Only malacha that directly produces edible food, not the preparatory steps. V'Rabbi Yehuda, what will Rabbi Yehuda say to that? Ksiv hu, uksiv lachem. He says, it's true, you're right, you have the word hu, but you also have the word lachem, this shall be done for you, and he takes that as an expanding word. And he says, the word hu excludes machshirin that you could have done before Yom Tov. The backup step that could have been done before Yom Tov may not be done on Yom Tov. However, if it can be done on Yom Tov, if it cannot be done on Erev Yom Tov, then you are allowed to do it on Yom Tov proper. So that's the quote from the Gemara in Megillah. So Tosfos says, Michlal da'ochal nefesh shari Rabbi Yehuda, afilu be'efsher, I added in the words in brackets, la'sosin be'erev Yom Tov. That means that Rabbi Yehuda will tell me that ochal nefesh is permitted even if you could have done it before Yom Tov. Right? Machshirin, he says no. Backup steps, no. But malacha that is directly producing food, Rabbi Yehuda will say, even if you could have done it before Yom Tov, you're allowed to do it on. And the whole debate of the Drabbanan was only on backup steps, but not on Ochal Nefesh itself. So his problem is, why are you getting Malkos for taking the honeycombs down? That's Ochal Nefesh. You follow his problem. Straightforward. Yeah.
I mean, would it even be Mutar Lechatchila? It wouldn't even be a
Shilu. Ostensibly, yeah. Why is this anything?
Don't you?
Yeah.
Ochal Nefesh, Malacha to get the honey out of the comb is going to be permissible.
So that we talk about as an umnus of some kind issue. It's an art.
Is it permissible to do?
On Yom Tov? Yeah, it's Ochal Nefesh.
Yeah.
Not everything, but certainly these steps. Yeah.
So we have to not take it down.
Yeah. So Tosfos doesn't understand why this should be usher. The ode, and further he says, the Hach Brisa, this Brisa meaning, as I added, Didon, our Brisa here, the one that we read in Source Aleph, that listed it, that author there is Rabbi Yehuda Kedepricius, as Tosfos has said separately in separate context. That Brisa is Rabbi Yehuda, who is the one who's most permissive. He's the one who says even Machshirin can be done, if they could be done before Yom Tov. And further, I have a third problem. The Perek Tolan, the Gemara elsewhere in Shabbos, later in Shabbos, Amrinan de Rabbi Eliezer Savak Rabbi Yehuda. There we say that Rabbi Eliezer, who's one of the voices in the Mishnah in, he's one of the voices in the Brisa here, he follows Rabbi Yehuda, Va'adifa mid Rabbi Yehuda. He even is more permissive than Rabbi Yehuda. V'shari afilu eshel asos and me'er Yom Tov. He permits the machshirin you could have done on Erev Yom Tov. What he's talking about is the classic discussion about making a Mila knife. Right? Are you allowed to make the Mila knife on Yom Tov? And Rabbi Eliezer is the one who's most lenient and says yes. You're allowed to do what you need to do, even if you could have done a Meir of Yom Tov, it doesn't make a difference. You had 8 days, you knew it was going to be bris. Nonetheless, you're allowed to do it then. So we're dealing here, in our Brisa, with the most permissive of authors. Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Eliezer, why in the world would I say that you're going to get Malkus for this? So he offers a possibility that he rejects. The Lekka LeMeimar, we're right after the bullet points in source base. The Lekka LeMeimar deMairi beRode leTzorech Chol. Don't say the following answer. Don't say it's where he's taking the honey for use tomorrow after Yom Tov. DeMikol Makom Tikshi LeMan deIslei Haol deIvimikli LeOrchin bePekei LeOver. And he says then you'd have to ask the question. Well, there is the concept of Hawil, that maybe it's still okay because guests could show up and use it today. At the very least, that's a machlokes, and the Gemara would have had to ask that question. And further, Rabbi Eliezer Gufei Islay Hasam Hawil. Rabbi Eliezer, one of the voices in this Brisa, believes in Hawil. So don't tell me it's because you intended it to be for tomorrow. That shouldn't prevent us from having at least a conversation about this. Va'omeri. So the Ri gives us the following two answers. First, De'ika la'ok me berodes samoch la'chashecha de'lo chazisu la'orchen. So the answer could be, you do it close to dark, and therefore, it's not suitable for guests. That's one answer. That's why on a Yom Tov like we had on Pesach, where you have an Erev Tavshilin. So you're preparing on Friday for Shabbos. So they say you're supposed to daven mincha early Friday night. You're not supposed to wait till late in order to ensure that people won't do the malacha with the Erev Tavshilin close to sunset when guests couldn't show up, because at least somewhat we rely on Ho'il as part of our Erev Tavshilin permission. So the Mishnah Berurah says you should daven earlier Friday night. But what he's saying here is one suggestion for why there are malchus here for the fellow who did the honey is he did it at sunset. And therefore, there was no chance it could have been used today. And it's for now for after Yom Tov, and that's why we object. Inami, alternatively, bidvash shehid bish. It's talking about honey that has gone bad. It has become honey too much, so to speak. It has aged too much. At a certain point, it becomes inedible. Oh, asur bahana, or it's honey that's, you know, for some reason with avodah zarah, whatever it was, you're not allowed to benefit from it. Lo chazil achila, so you can't eat it. And since you can't eat it, there's no ochel nefesh involved. And therefore, there would be malchus. So that's his answer to his opening question. His opening question was, why is someone getting malchus for taking down the honey? After all, it's ochel nefesh. So I'll construct a case in which it's not ochel nefesh. It's for tomorrow, and it can't be used today, or it's something that's usher to eat. Fine. But then we get to his second question. Umiu teima lari. He says, I'm not done. Kevan demutur legabein biyomtov min ha-Torah. Afilu be'efshar I added in lasos be'erav Yom Tov. He says, since biblically you are allowed to make cheese on Yom Tov, afilu lo yehi mutar, even if you could have done it on erev Yom Tov, still it's ochel nefesh. Afilu lo yehi mutar midirabanan ela bedelo efshar lasos be'erav Yom Tov. Even if you'll tell me that midirabanan, we prohibit it because you could have done it on erev Yom Tov. In Cain. He says, I want to argue the following. And this is really the crux of the shiur, is this question he's going to ask you here. The honey was just extra credit. But he says, since I should be allowed to make cheese, right? At least if I didn't have the opportunity to make it on Erev Yom Tov, I mean, realistically, making cheese takes time. How are you going to make cheese on Yom Tov to use it the same day? Nonetheless, his point is, if making cheese is permitted, and that's megabain is understood to be tied to the malacha of bone construction. So he says, if making cheese is allowed, in Cain, nafal beso b'yom tov, yemutul levnosa b'yom tov, if a person's house collapses on Yom Tov, or, I don't know, his sukkah collapses on Sukkot, he should be allowed to build it. Why? Dimitoch shehuter binyan l'ksoreh. Since construction is allowed for tzorech of ochel nefesh, to megabain having mishum bone kedamar besamuch, because in fact megabain is bone, as the Gemara says there, as we just noted, huter nami shalol tzorech. It should be allowed also, even if it's not for ochel nefesh. Ubilvad shei tzorech hayom lecho besocho shalol yakenu sharav hashemesh. As long as you're building the house that you can eat inside of it on Yom Tov, so it's tzorech hayom, you have a need for today.
Didn't we make already a distinction a few weeks ago between binyan kalim and other forms of binyan?
Yes.
Cheese fall into the category of binyan kalim.
So he is saying that megabain is considered to be a tolda of bonet. Even though bonet, forget whether bonet applies to kalim, applying it to ochel sounds bizarre. But the reason why we link them is because what you're doing is taking separate pieces, combining them together to make a solid structure. That's what makes it bonet. That's where it comes from. Otherwise, it's not us there at all.
He needs to do that, because otherwise it's not kashya. In other words, because otherwise you can say there's a simple distinction. You can't ask a kasha from a bona that is only a derabanan and try to say.
But it's not a derabanan. It's a tolda. It's a deraisa.
It's a tolda, even though it's not on kli. It's a tolda deraisa.
It's not on a kli. It's a completely separate discussion altogether.
But I thought you had made the distinction earlier that I thought we said.
We did. No, we talked about it in Binyan Nistir of the Kalim. But this isn't even a Kli. It's a whole different parsha.
No,
you could say that there's no bonet for a Kli, but there is bonet for cheese.
Okay.
Yeah.
Where's the mitzvah, though, building your house? for doing that.
Well, what mitzvah? It's not about a mitzvah.
So it doesn't hold them out, it doesn't matter whether it's for a mitzvah. Well,
that's true anyway.
Why don't you say mitzvah?
Mitzvah doesn't require a mitzvah.
No, we said that requires a mitzvah.
Just the opposite. It was a chiddush that we said that when you're doing it for a mitzvah purpose, that counts as a tzorach, even though it's not a personal need. That was the novelty. The default assumption is tzorach is I want something. There's something that I need today.
Something with no need that we couldn't say Natal.
Yeah. So he says, as long as you're going to use the house today, great. So his argument is, Megabe, you have to make sure you get this part of it, or else what the Mishnah Sevarim is going to do isn't going to make any sense. He says, Megabe equals Bona.
I'm still having trouble with that.
I get it, and he's going to have trouble with it also. So we'll see more of a challenge to it on a substantive level. But he's saying, Megabe equals Bona. Therefore, since Bona is permitted litzorech ochel nefesh, it should also be permitted if it's not for ochel nefesh, if it has some other yom tov purpose. So Tosfos says, why can't I build my house? If the house collapses on yom tov, the sukkah falls apart, we have all these shilas that come up every year, right? When the wind and the rain knocks off the schach, what can I do? Tosfos says, there's no problem. You can make cheese, you can put your schach back on. That's a novel approach, but that's what he's saying. So he says, V'yesh lomar. Well, because we're not done with the shiur. Tosfos' answer is, V'yesh lomar, you could say, da'asur midirabanan. Could be it's only a dirabanan. Da'avi uvda d'chol. What's the dirabanan of bona? It's a weekday type of an activity. That's what we've come up with. And he gives you a couple of other examples of weekday activities, weekday malachas. That's his answer. Now, would we, based on what we've said in previous shiurim, would we really go along with this argument? The idea that mitoch could be used for bona?
But bona might require so much exertion that we didn't have any other.
Really forget that. How he says no, one. Forget Sarachyam. Yeah. The Rambam is for sure not going to go for this because the Rambam said mitoch only applies to two malachot, Tzotzah and Havara. Bona is not on the list. That's number one. Number two, the Magid Mishnah with his three categories, right? The Magid Mishnah had three categories. He had malachos that are generally food malachos, right? And then he had Hotzah and Havara as this category to themselves. He had malachos that are food malachos, and the malachos that are not food malachos. And the malachos that are not food malachos have no shaykhas to mitoch whatsoever. There's no mitoch for them. And bona, I think we can safely say, it's not a food malacha.
Yeah.
Food malachas are malachas that are about
so
food.
It's very cold outside, and you have enough of the heat that the house will give you when because it's built, because it's not freezing outside. That hanah is an extent. Didn't you extend the concept of hanah saguf besides?
That's in terms of expanding the definition of ochel nefesh. That's true. But bona, that's not what bona is.
No, but the purpose of bona is what you have to look at, not. No.
Yeah, but it's
cooking isn't it's inscribed as a match made with fire. It's cooking.
It's an interesting idea. Maybe.
Could be simple
as Yom Tov. Maybe. The Kilas Yaakov also, there was the third approach that we had seen to it also. The Simple Yom Tov isn't going to help me. It doesn't turn into Ochel Nefesh. But the Kilas Yaakov also said that it has to be a food-related malacha. And so I thought to myself, is he really saying this? Like, doesn't say it, and just everybody's going to disagree. That sounds very strange. But then I found the Pnei Yehoshua, who makes the same point. If you take a look at Source Gimel, the Pnei Yehoshua comes up with the same type of distinction of food-related malachos have mitoch, non-food malachos do not have mitoch. He says, "Ubezenis yashiv li gamkin mai da'avik hasheli." This distinction between food malachos and non-food malachos resolves for me that which bothered me. Within the view of Rabbi Yehuda, who says you're allowed to do the backup steps on Yom Tov. If so, no malacha should be asur because haruban, kikulan, shaykhu, machshirin. Almost all of them, if not all of them, can be involved in some way in a backup process to prepare food. Right? I mean, you talk about heating the metal to make the knife in order to be able to shecht. So now you've included havara in that as a food malacha and so on. Although havara has special status anyway. But the point is, anything goes. Avalamai depreciates, but based on what I have explained, asi shakir, it works. Mitoch only applies to a malacha which has as its ikar, note that word, as its ikar, not just it happens to be that it can provide warmth or something, but its ikar is for the sake of food. He says the only ones for which this is going to be relevant is going to be transport and the fire. And he references the Magid Mishnah. And then he writes, all this seems clear and obvious to me. But with this Tosfos, which is our Tosfos, Lamashmakain, Tosfos does not appear to agree. So the issue that I want to deal with is this idea that Tosfos is offering us, this idea that you could do mitol for construction. And the way that we approach it is with a question asked by the Mishnah Savram based on the Gemara in Shavuos. The Gemara in Shavuos is source Dalet. The Gemara there is having a completely separate discussion about the Beis HaMikdash and how you dedicate the Beis HaMikdash if you have to add to the Beis HaMikdash. If they decide to expand it, right? So after they get through all the zoning issues and the United Nations, commissions and the Waqf and everything else, we're now set. We're going to expand the Beis HaMikdash. We just have to make a rule that Jews can't daven there. Then we're good. So we're going to make this expansion. How do you sanctify the expansion? So the Gemara says, we learn from the rules when you expand Yerushalayim. There are rules for how you are Mekadesh, how you give Kedusha to, or Makdesh, it's not Mekadesh, parts of Yerushalayim if you expand Yerushalayim, and the same rules will apply, and yet involves this type of a karbon, and chametz, menachos, and so on. So the Gemara there asks the question that you see here. Efshar de Mekadesh b'shtei alechem ba'atzeres, the words in brackets are my own additions. Could you sanctify the azara, this added space that you're making in the Beis HaMikdash, with the consumption of the two loaves of bread? These are a chametz mincha, a chametz flour offering that are brought on Shavuos. So here we have a Shavuos connection to the Shear also. That's good. So the Gemara says, no. Mishum de lo efshar, you can't. Why can't you use the two loaves of bread? Because what are you going to do? Nivnei me esmol v'nikdashe me esmol. If you're going to say, let's build the Beis HaMikdash on Erev Shavuos, and we'll do the Kedusha on Erev Shavuos, that won't work. Because Shtei Alechem b'shchitas kevasim u'dekachi. The Shtei Alechem only get their Kedusha when you shech the lambs that come with them on Shavuos. So they don't have Kedusha. So you can't do that on Erev Shavuos. That's no good. Nivnei me esmol v'nikdashe ha'idna. So maybe we should build it before Shavuos, and we'll sanctify it on Shavuos day. Right? I added in b'Shavuos. No, because b'inan kiddush b'shas binyan, b'shas ha-binyan, this ritual of sanctifying the space has to take place when you build it. You can't build a part that's going to be added to the Beis HaMikdash and then wait and then sanctify it later. You can't do that. It has to be same day.
Wasn't the Mishkan in essence done? Put up and then sanctify it really?
The pasuk says by Yakim Moshe as Mishkan, he put it together, he put it up every day of the Miluim.
Right, put up and down.
And that's when they're
finishing
it.
The service started in Aaron do.
Right, but he's doing the chinuch of the Mishkan for the 7 days.
So it was right in the Kaddish at that time.
I think so. So the Gemara asks the key question. Nu nivni Yom Tov. So build the Beis HaMikdash, build your addition on Yom Tov, and sanctify it on Yom Tov with these two loaves. Which the Gemara says you can't do that. Ein binyan mikdash doche Yom Tov. Because building the Beis HaMikdash does not override Yom Tov. So asks the Mishnah Savram, as well as others, but he's the one that where I saw it, he says, Tosfos just told me that you are biblically permitted to build on Yom Tov. The only reason you can't is some derabanan. Right? It's Uda Dechol. The derabanans won't stop you from building the Beis HaMikdash. Ein shvus v'mikdash. So therefore, you should be allowed to build a Beis HaMikdash on Yom Tov. What's the Gemara here talking about?
So, yeah. Just backing up 1 second. Going back to the Braita, where the Chachamim say it's Mishum Shavuot.
Yeah.
So even the Chachamim were not convinced that's an actual Malacha.
Yeah.
So the fact that you're saying Megavein is Boneh, the Chachamim actually don't say it's Boneh.
So,
it's not a total
well, they say
Boneh.
It's a Derabanan.
Right. So they don't hold a Tosfot. Like the whole break that doesn't fit.
Well, the Braita is predicated upon the view of Rabbi Eliezer, who is the Tanakhama.
Okay, so Tosfot is strictly based on Rabbi Eliezer.
Yeah, he's dealing with that. in a Hanami. But Rabbi Eliezer is a big voice. You don't, you know. I mean, granted, he's a big Shammai. Nonetheless, he's still a big voice. And if you cross him, you end up with the walls of your, you know, his medrash collapsing. So
it's interesting. He doesn't say minyan is also enough. He make that somehow.
Wow, that would be a very interesting distinction.
Yeah, I wouldn't know how you'd figure one out for that.
Right. Well, the truth is, the first answer that the Mishnah Sefer mentions, but he throws it out, I didn't even bother to bring it on the sheet, is to say, well, maybe it's because he doesn't complete the construction that day. Since you don't complete the construction that day, it's not serving at Sarach of Yom Tov. The Beis HaMikdash wasn't built in a day. That would be the answer. The problem is that the language in the Gemara in Shavuos is that way. It says, Nivnieh b'yom tov, v'naktesheh b'yom tov, build it on yom tov, and sanctify it same day. So that we throw out as an answer. So we have two other answers that are offered. One answer comes from the Chasam Sofer, and then the third answer is the Mishnas Avram himself. And the Chasam Sofer asked the same question about this Tosfos. And in Source Hay, he offers you an answer. He says, V'hamegabein, regarding Megabein, Mashakasvu Tosfos, our Tosfos Baharode, that bona b'yom tov eino ele mishum shvus, that construction on yom tov is a problem of a dirabanan, hainu kigonota ohel lasheves tachtav. He says what Tosfos was talking about is like you stretch out a tent, you know, and you're going to sit beneath it. Avaloyim areach batid, v'loy sateis ba'avanim. But Tosfos was not entertaining the idea that you would be allowed to do real construction. That you would be allowed to smooth out clay and mortar, that you'd be allowed to chisel stone. The gamlo yigmor binyan, you can't complete construction. Why? The havale makabipatish. Right? When you deal with bonem, makabipatish is never far behind. Makabipatish, striking with the hammer, is the act with which you make something functional. It's also, there are sources that I should have brought one or two of them because they're very funny. There's sources that talk about makabapatish, saying basically makabapatish is what you say when you can't come up with what's usher about it. It's makabapatish, you're completing something. Yeah. The Yerushalmi like that. So anyway, he says, Tavali makabapatish, velohutter ele binyan, belianal. The only thing that's allowed is construction without these sorts of permanent actions. Which will be because you're allowed to do the cheese. And he says, this answers a lot of questions. He asks a question which we didn't ask. He's answering. We could have asked it, had we thought about it. Way, way back, like December time or so, right? We talked about moving a ladder in order to get to the dovecot, right? And we said, we don't want you moving the ladder from one area to another area, because we could do it within one dovecot, but not from one dovecot to another, because people are going to say that you're fixing your roof. Based on Tosfos, I'm allowed to fix my roof midi'oraisa, right? It's only midi'rabanan, maybe that I'm not supposed to marasayin on the midi'rabanan. So his answer will be, he says, "V'alo b'yom tov leka yisur d'oraisa b'binyan." There's no biblical prohibition against construction on yom tov. Ulahanan leichod. Based on what he's saying, it's fine because you're right, but it's makom b'patish. For you to fix the roof is makom b'patish. And that's usher, even midi'oraisa. Your heter from megabein is not going to carry over to makom b'patish. Because makom b'patish isn't a bona act. It's not taking multiple parts. It's
totally separate.
Completely separate halacha. Listed separately in the 39.
So it doesn't shelter under the cheese.
Correct. V'chein, and then he brings our Gemara in Shavuos. V'chein perek beiz di Shavuos. Ein binyan beiz hamikdash docha yom tov v'chi ha'gavna. Ulahanal nicha, but the chi hai gavni, like these cases, I should say. Ulahanal nicha, he says, now you can answer and say, let's talk about real construction. And real construction, that which is going to last, is makom b'patish. That's the Chasam Sofer's answer to this problem.
Couldn't you get it to the point it's almost finished because you haven't finished it? As long as you finish something else.
But we're not talking about something. The kasha was raised in the context of the Beis HaMikdash.
No, but once you can do bone
in it. You can bone it in your house.
Yeah.
Oh, so you're saying, like, put up the wall, but don't put up the finishing touches. You'll stay
with the final nails.
Yes. Tosfos would appear to be saying that that's only a derabanan. Mm-hmm. That's what it sounds like from Tosfos, for sure. The only del reisa will be if it's not going to be patish.
Okay, but,
yeah.
the wording in Tosfot is im kein nafal beito b'yon tov, yeh mutar l'ibnoto b'yon tov. It's not talking about putting up a tent or something temporary. It's talking about rebuilding his house.
Yeah, it is difficult to read this into Tosfos. I agree. But the Mishnah Savram asks a different question. He says, we know when the Beis HaMikdash is, we know when the Beis HaMikdash was completed historically. It wasn't completed on Yom Tov. Granted that the Gemara in Shavuos is dealing with that as a suggestion, he ignores that and says, what if you build the Mikdash without completing it on Yom Tov? Then it's not Makom HaPatish. You didn't finish anything. So he says you could answer based on the view of Tosfos and the Rambam regarding the mitzvah of building the Beis HaMikdash. Really, most of his piece, of the Mishnah Savram's piece, surrounds the question of building the Beis HaMikdash. Is it a mitzvah of building it, or is it only a hechsher mitzvah? It will enable you to bring korbanos. Now, the truth is that I had many problems with his argument about this. There were pieces of it that I didn't see how they followed. But I'm bringing the piece that he brings that's directly relevant to our discussion. In source Vav, he begins with Tosfos. Tosfos writes, this is the end of a long Tosfos that runs from the first side of Shabbos Kuf Lamed Aleph over onto the second side. You don't actually need to know the Gemara there in order to read this one line, where he says, "V'habinya nami havi mitzvah achas shetziva kadosh baruch hu livnos Beis HaMikdash." He says the entire process of building the Beis HaMikdash is a mitzvah. Hashem commanded us, build a Beis HaMikdash. You are fulfilling a mitzvah when you engage in any part of that process. That's what he writes. Similarly, he reads that into the Rambam. The Rambam writes in source Zion, "Mitzvas asei lasos bayis lashem." Right, this is the beginning of Beis HaBachir, the laws of building the Beis HaMikdash. So he says there is a mitzvah of creating a house for God, muchan lios makrivim bo karbanos, which will be ready for karbanos to be brought. V'chogin elav shalosh pamim bashana, and we celebrate there 3 times a year. Shenamer, as the pasuk says, "V'asuli mikdash," make a mikdash for me. So the Rambam uses the pasuk of make a mikdash for me, specifically. That matters a great deal, which pasuk the Rambam brought. Take a look in source Ches, the flip side, and the Kesef Mishnah. The Kesef Mishnah quotes the Smag. The Smag writes the following, Rabbi Moshe of Korbil, I believe. It's either Moshe of Kutzi or Moshe of Korbil. I get confused between the Smag and the Smag. But I think it's of Korbil. He says, the Smag, Kesef, the Smag wrote the following, Vizel Hashanah, Tanya, Gil mitzvahs nitzdavu Yisrael, right? The Jews are given 3 mitzvahs when they enter into Israel, right? King, destroying Amalek, building a Beis HaMikdash, whichever order is its own discussion. After Hashem gets rid of their enemies, livnos Beis HaBachira, they have a mitzvah of building the Beis HaMikdash. Shenamar, he gives you a pasuk, it's not the Rambam's pasuk. Vavartemes hayardein vishavtem baaretz, it says, cross the Jordan, settle in the land, you're done with your enemies, and then the place Hashem will choose in which He is going to settle His name, there you will bring all the karbanos I command you, and so on. End of quote. So he says, from that pasuk I understand that there's a mitzvah building a Beis HaMikdash. Because the pasuk says, once you're done with your enemies, then you will bring your karbanos in the place that Hashem chooses.
But the language seems to be more of a machshir than thinking of a machshir mitzvah.
100%.
Because in this case, talking about is all they're saying is your karbanos.
100%.
There's no focus on losing it.
Yep, that's where we're going. So he says, Zman mitzvah zu shel binyan beis HaBachira lo higia ad yemei David. The time to do this didn't arrive until David HaMelech's time, when finally they have peace from various enemies. Not all of them, but enough, I guess. V'cheinu omer b'David, as in fact the pasuk says regarding David HaMelech. V'yihi ki yashav HaMelech b'beisav, he was sitting in his house. V'Hashem hiniach lo misaviv mikol oyvav, Hashem had given him rest from his various enemies around. And it says, V'yomer HaMelech l'masan ha'navi, re'eino anochi yoshev b'beis ha'razim, v'aron ha'olok kim yoshev b'sil ha'yiri'ah. David HaMelech says to Nasan the prophet, I am sitting in this nice cedar palace, and the Aron is sitting in this tent. So that's when he's ready to build it. That's the smag. So the Kesef Mishnah writes, V'nirah shelo ratza lomer sha'mitzvah hi va'asuli mikdash k'mo shekasav Rabbeinu. He says the smag didn't want to use the pasuk of the asuli mikdash, Mishum tehahu krav mishkan shavimid bar mairi, because that pasuk is talking about the mishkan in the wilderness. Rabbeinu lo niro lo sham mitzvahi v'haya amakom ha'sheyivchav Hashem Elokechem u'kismag. He says the Rambam doesn't believe that the mitzvah is the place where Hashem is going to build that whole pasuk that the smag brought. Mishum dahasam lo pakid livnos beis habachira ela sibur ba'almu. That pasuk only tells a story. When you have no more enemies, then you will bring your karbanos here. It doesn't sound like a command. It says you'll bring your karbanos in the place Hashem will choose. But the pasuk doesn't say build a mikdash. So again, what we're doing here is trying to show something within the Rambam. The Rambam says your mitzvah of building the Beis HaMikdash is from the pasuk of the Asuli Mikdash. The Smag says your mitzvah is from the pasuk that says bring your karbanos there. The Smag doesn't like the Rambam's pasuk according to the Kesef Mishnah because the Rambam's pasuk is for the Mishkan. The Rambam doesn't like the Smag's pasuk because it doesn't say do anything. It's just describing what's going to happen.
But how is the mitzvah complete? So why are you compelled? So if you don't like each...
Right, if you don't like it. But the Rambam is comfortable with using the Mishkan Pasuk.
Yeah, then he must have had the sword as one of the mitzvahs. I mean, it's not like the other Rishon will read it. It's a mitzvah as well. Don't they? Well,
yes, I think they all do. But I think the Rambam is saying that the Mishkan, Mikdash is an extension of the Mishkan. When they were told v'shachanti v'socham, that wasn't a finite mitzvah. And remember, they used the Mishkan for centuries. The Mishkan is not 40 years in the wilderness and you're done. The Mishkan is in use for almost 500 years.
It's a couple hundred, isn't it?
What do you mean?
Madaf, Mishkan Midbar is not even a place where you're supposed to happen to show. Is a mitzvah couple hundred, the basic interest of this.
Maybe. It's arguable. So the Mishnah Savram adds to the Kesef Mishnah and says, what Shai was picking up on, that there's another distinction between these psukim, so Price and Sois Tess. He says, Od chiluv gadol yesh bein harambam v'hasmag. There's another major distinction between the Rambam's position and the Smag's position. To the das harambam zal ha-mitzvah hi ha-asiya ba'asma. According to the Rambam, the mitzvah is v'asu li mikdash. Make a mikdash. V'afil lo niskadesh adayin ve'in mevim karbanos. Even if it's not holy yet, you're building the building according to the instructions. And they're not bringing karbanos. The chol zos ha-mitzvah shel asiya. The mitzvah is to make it. V'chein ha-binyan einan tluyos b'avodesh b'mikdash. And the whole thing, that building, that doesn't depend on doing an avoda there. V'nafgamina b'zman hazeh. He said the practical application of this distinction between the Rambam and the Smag would be in our day, temporarily. Shekulanu tmei emesim anachnu. We're all tamei. We can't do the avodah. We can't sanctify the space. Nonetheless, we'll still have the mitzvah. Because V'asuli Mikdash says, make a mikdash even if you can't bring karbanos.
Okay, but are we trying to say that if it is a mitzvah to build the Beit HaMikdash, that even on Yom Tov, if we're not doing the finishing act, we should be allowed to build it on Yom Tov? Is that where we're going with this?
Yeah.
Okay, so my difficulty with that is the...
Although he's about to throw the hammer at that, so to speak.
Oh, so that will be eliminated.
Yes.
So then I won't ask the question.
Okay. This is his point in describing this mitzvah. You'll see in a second.
Is it really true that Tamei can build the Beit HaMikdash if you're a Bakum Kodesh?
So the question that you would have is, what can you do with this? Like, what are you actually able to do? So Rav Yechiel Melchot Tukhachinsky wrote it's a three-volume set, but it's actually five volumes or six volumes that were just compressed into three. But it's called the Ir HaKodesh VeHamikdash. What he did was, he went back through Tzvi Hirsch Kalischer's arguments for building the Beis HaMikdash today, and the responses to him, and then he added his own thoughts as well. So he discusses there what you can and can't do when in a state of Tumah. He deals with everything in there. The discussion about we don't have Big Day Kahuna, the discussion about Tumah Hadribat Tzibur, the discussion about needing a Kohen Miuchas, and so on and so forth. It's a grand read. It's very, very worth learning. But where Price's point in bringing this, first of all, the challenge to Price's idea that there is a mitzvah of building the Beis HaMikdash even without the Karbanos comes from the wording of the Rambam himself.
Right.
The Rambam wrote back in Sor Zayin, mitzvah to say, Lazo Bayit Lashem, Muchon Lios Makrivim Bo Karbanos. He did say the house should be ready for Karbanos. And the Mabit in Sor Yud asks where the Rambam get that from. That wasn't found in Va'asuli Mikdash. Right? Mabit writes, Mitzvah Kuf Dalet, Livnos beis hamikdash l'Hashem muchan liyos makrivim bo karbanos v'chogin elav shoshem basham. Like the Rambam said, d'chsivas li'mikdash shachdi b'selcham. V'kemen, right, but he writes, v'kemen shetziva batara l'hakri bo karbanos v'leiroz bo l'fnei Hashem mashma d'lachi tziva b'minyano. It's logical. Since the Torah says that what you're going to do with this mikdash is bring karbanos and appear before Hashem on the regel, obviously that's the goal for what you're doing. It's a logical thing. But that's a side point, and I think an interesting challenge to his view.
Doesn't he say more in the Lutheran that there won't be any karbanos in the third base mikdash?
No. Absolutely, categorically not. The Rambam is very clear that there will be in Mishneh Torah and in Moreh Nevuchim. What he does say in Moreh Nevuchim that leads people to think that is that in discussing the benefits of karban, at one point he frames it as a concession to a world of avodah zarah and how the Jews coming out of Mitzrayim needed to be in a familiar framework and so on, and that has led people to say, "Oh, the Rambam thinks then that it won't be in the future." However, he does not equivocate in Mishneh Torah. He says there will be a third base hamikdash and there will be karbanos. He's very clear about it. I had a very interesting discussion once with a conservative rabbi on this point. Because people misunderstand what the Rambam did. First of all, the Rambam presents other reasons for karbanos, even within Moreh Nevuchim. That's number one. Number two, he can't neglect the fact that we were given karbanos, and the Torah celebrates karbanos before there are Ovdei Avodah Zarah on the scene. Kain and Hevel bring karbanos, and if Kain doesn't work out so well, you know, Hevel's is accepted by Hashem. So the conservative rabbi said, "Well, you know what I'm going to say about that." His answer would have, he didn't say it, but his answer would have been that was inserted later by people trying to support the temple cult and so on, and so that would have been his response. But in any case, the point for us and the answer to Howie's question as well is that the suggestion is that Makkeh d'Patish will apply at each step of building the Beis HaMikdash. Since it's a mitzvah, with every act of construction, I am doing something meaningful. I am fulfilling a mitzvah. And therefore, that action of building, even just along the way, has Makkeh d'Patish status.
So somewhat circular.
Well, it actually, I think it can be read straight. What he's saying again is, you asked the question of Makkeh d'Patish. The Chasam Sofer's argument was that the reason why the Gemara says you can't build it on Yom Tov is because of Makkeh d'Patish. You're going to challenge and say, what if we don't finish it on Yom Tov? My answer to you is, it's still Makkeh d'Patish on each action because it's a mitzvah. It seems circular because we spent a lot of time on this being a mitzvah. But it's actually relatively straight. The problem is I don't think his question is a question in the first place, because the Gemara talked about finishing it. It didn't talk about building it partway. But that's what I would say on that. Yeah. Okay. Okay. The Mishnah Savram, though, offers a second idea, which has applications beyond building a Beis HaMikdash. He suggests that Megabein and Bonus should not really be so closely linked, such that you are going to say Mitoch from one to the other, even though there's an av toldo relationship. Nonetheless, even still, you won't do it. He says, you'll see what he says. He says, first of all, you have to understand why Tosfos wants to apply mitoch from boned to megabein, right? Or from megabein, I should say, really, from megabein to mitoch. He writes in source Yud Aleph. He says, "Be'emes yesh chiluk gadol bein megabein ubone." There's a real difference between megabein and bone. De megabein hu bone she'en lasosro klal. He says, this is now counterintuitive also. If you would have asked me which one is...
I would go the other way.
Yeah. Which one is the real construction? I would have said construction is construction and cheesemaking is cheesemaking. It's not construction. He says, no. Because when you make cheese, you can't reduce it to its components anymore. It's now cheese. The truth is, there's a modern technology that may be developing that will allow you to do it, but it's not important. You can't break it down to its components, whereas when you build, invest enough time and you can pull out the nails and separate the wood, and you can take it apart.
And therefore, I mean, he's linking bone to the saucer, but isn't it the other way around? I always thought that the locha saucer you can't do. If its purpose is to do bone.
That's true, but it's not his point. His point is to say that a bone that cannot be nistar is a more real form of bone.
not be nister.
So the stronger the construction.
Is a stronger bone than the other one?
Because you can't unravel it.
Okay. So there, and that is allowed.
Whereas the bone,
that's allowed.
If I pour cement, I can't unravel it.
Well, keep in mind that, well, actually, he's already familiar with it, but in the Gemara's day, you're not pouring cement. You are building with clay, though.
But you think the bricks.
Hold the question, but it's an interesting point. Take a look at what he says. He says, Megabin is bona that cannot be taken apart. He says you can't turn the cheese into milk and into the cream that's been picked off of the milk. Avo bona. He says, if you make a building out of wood or stones, he doesn't mention cement or clay, you're able to take it apart and separate out the materials again. Maybe he'll argue that clay and cement is not a problem because there is no core material to reduce it to. That was your core material, to which you would make respond, well, the water and the sand were the materials. So he says, qualitatively, these are two different acts of construction. So he says, you're not going to say mitoch if they're qualitatively different. Now the question is, then why did Tosfos do this? Tosfos said that argued the mitoch, not me.
It's not about that. It's not about that, but it's the logic. Defies logic, because he's taking something that he says should be mutter, and he's moving away from Echol Nefesh, but focusing on the mechanics, that is a binyan that you can't be sosir, and therefore a binyan that can't be sosir is permissible, but a binyan that could be sosir.
That's not his point. His point is to say that these are really viewed as two separate malachos, and therefore you can't say mitoch the fact that I'm allowed to do megabin for Echol Nefesh, therefore I'm allowed to do bona without that. He says you're comparing apples and oranges.
But see, that's the most logical part of this.
But it's not. But we think about it
entirely. How do you equate bona with making cheese?
Right.
So this, to me, is.
But his reason for distinguishing them is very different from what you're thinking.
No, he's just saying that bona is different than making cheese, and here's why.
Commonality from the toch.
Yeah.
And so this is too far off.
Yes.
But you know, we don't have that much commonality.
Hang on. Just wait. The bigger problem isn't that. The bigger problem is Tosfos did it.
Right.
We didn't make this up. Tosfos said mitoch. So he says, Ve'elo had the kuskwa Tosfos damrina mitoch megabin labona. Hayne mishum de betachli son hayne shavin. Tosfos' reason for saying mitoch is because they have the same goal. Megabin and bona have the same goal. Kolomar, meaning, megabin zetachli so lasos givina. Velo lasos hadvar hanasim eitzel asiyas givina. Ela mikemish tachos kabanasa huligmar givina memela reyum muchlach lasos kol pu'ulos hanitzrachos lisei. So when you make cheese, there are a number of steps, and you have all sorts of byproducts. Your goal is to make cheese. At the end, you want to combine different things in order to make the whole. The chol zeh have the chayin zeh have bone bias. So too when you build a house. Your point is not to make all the little things along the way. To stick one board with another board. Or to put one stone on another stone. These are all just steps towards your goal. Your goal is to complete the construction such that you can use the space inside. So you do all the different components and steps first. So he says the end result is that bona and megabin are similar as far as Tosfos is concerned. That they are the same in the sense that they have the same goal. You do a bunch of steps in order to have this thing in the end in which everything's been stuck together. However, he says, that's only true if you're talking about building a house, not if you're talking about building the Beis HaMikdash. He says, that's fine for other acts of construction in which your goal is to build a complete house. But when it comes to building the Mishkan, where the goal is to fulfill the mitzvah of building the Mishkan, Vim nomar shikim ha mitzvah himiyad bishas binyan, If you tell me that I fulfill the mitzvah with every act of construction, even though it's not complete, now it's dissimilar, it's not the same anymore as making cheese. Not in the quality of the construction and not in the goal. Tosfos doesn't have to worry about this. Tosfos didn't mention the Beis HaMikdash. He says, the idea is, say it outside. Our problem was this. Tosfos says that mitoch should allow me to build a house now that I can do megabein. And our challenge is, then why is it I'm not allowed to build a Beis HaMikdash? And his answer is, because building a house and building a Beis HaMikdash are two different things. Building a house, he says, is close enough to megabein to satisfy Tosfos. Because your goal is the same, of doing a whole bunch of intermediate steps of combining things until you have a whole that is functional. However, building a Beis HaMikdash is entirely dissimilar from megabein. Because each step of building the Beis HaMikdash is a mitzvah, and therefore, there is value in each intermediate step. That's his statement.
Who holds every step as a mitzvah? Is that the Rambam Shita?
So that is what Rav Price spends his time building based on this view of the Rambam. Correct. And he has a lot on this. He had a whole discussion about whether it's built naturally, supernaturally. There's a lot of discussion there. He goes on for pages about that. I mean, this is the complete piece from the Mishnah Sevram, and he spends a lot of time on that.
The Gemara Shulis that you quoted is the Gemara or the Tosfos?
Gemara.
That's the Gemara Shulis.
Correct. Tosfos is those in Shabbos.
So there's no Tosfos in that Gemara?
On this point, no.
On that point.
No.
He doesn't say, that I said somewhere else that they're buying the house.
Nope.
In the case of Tosfot with the Magabein and the Blana, okay, I know we're separating things, but you have Makim Patish in both. In other words, when the cheese is completed, I don't know what Masa you do with the cheese to complete it, but when he's finishing the house,
You dry it out.
Okay.
Separate the liquid from
when
the
he's
salt.
Finishing the house, he is finishing the house. He's completing the house, so you have the Blana and the Makim Patish. So there, it should be directly applicable to the Beit HaMikdash that even as Rav Price is explaining it, that every step of the mitzvah, you're Mekayim Makev HaPatish, based on the Tosfot, Makev HaPatish is also permissible.
Well, if you're going to accept the Makev HaPatish argument, then you don't even need to discuss the Megabein and the cheese. In other words, he already did that. That was the Chasam Sofer's answer.
Yeah.
And then everything is done. He's trying to offer another answer if you're not satisfied with the Makom HaPatish one. If you're going to tell me that you don't believe that the fact that it's a mitzvah every step of the way makes it Makom HaPatish, which he himself hems about. He's not so sure about either. So if you're not going to accept that making it a mitzvah each step of the way turns it into Makom HaPatish, then how do I know that you can't build the Beis HaMikdash on Yom Tov and just don't complete it on Yom Tov?
Right,
and so his answer would be,
Makom HaPatish would be yes. If, according to the Tosfot, that you're allowed to rebuild your house on Yom Tov.
So in other words, why can't I say Makom HaPatish is allowed by Megabein, but it's not, and therefore it should be allowed by Bona?
Correct.
So the answer I would give is that I don't think we call the completion of the cheese Makom HaPatish. Makom HaPatish is a very odd malacha. It only applies where it applies. That's what I meant before, what I said.
But
it's a very odd.
The house that's being rebuilt.
Yes, but it won't apply necessarily to the cheese.
But so Tosfot says you could rebuild the house. I'm not talking about the Beit HaMikdash.
Only as a mitoch product of megabein, not as a thing unto itself. It doesn't make it into ochel nefesh,
but
such that you can now extrapolate from there.
But he should not be allowing it in the first place.
Because it's Makom HaPatish in Echami, and that was the challenge that was the Chasam Sofer statement. The Chasam Sofer said, "I disagree." That's the point. The Chasam Sofer statement, as we saw it, was to say that Makom HaPatish is what ruins what he is saying, and therefore maybe we'll say that what the Tosfos was talking about was not real construction, but extending a tent or something. So I'm not going to do the last source except to explain to you the key that comes from this Avnei Nezer. The Avnei Nezer says the same idea that Rav Price is saying here. The same thought. He notes the Magid Mishnah.
He was his Rebbe.
Was he?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Interesting. Okay. The Avnei Nezer notes the Magid Mishnah. That's most of the Avnei Nezer's piece here in Yud Beis, where the Magid Mishnah says that avos and their toldos are not entirely similar. And he says, if the tolda is not similar to the av, then we're not going to say mitoch. And that's really what I wanted to draw from this. I want to get two lessons out of this shiur tonight. Number one, that Tosfos does not have the Rambam's limitation of mitoch to particular malachos. Right? What we started with, when we said, Tosfos is willing to apply mitoch to bone. Right? Where the Rambam said, Havara and Hotzah. That's number one. And number two, when we say, if a particular malacha is permitted for Ochel Nefesh, it is also permitted for any other tzorech. You can't do that to a malacha that is dissimilar. It has to be similar to the one that is permitted for Ochel Nefesh. So that, saying that mitoch is allowed, saying that Ochel Nefesh permits megabin, does not mean that mitoch is going to permit boneh. Those are the pieces that I wanted to get from this. Next Thursday night, God willing, we do not meet. I'm going to give shiur, God willing, on Wednesday night.